Stand and enjoy. Boy, it's kind of like this, folks. That's all. All right. I love these. It just. No, I'm trying to show you how to clap on beat, and it just isn't going to happen. If you ever wondered the ethnicity of this church, by and large, it's white. So, yeah, okay. But God bless you. You try so hard. And okay, boys and girls, go to Super Church at this time. Let's give all of our kids a big round of applause. On beat. I love it. You guys are so fun. You are so fun. I hear you start clapping. I'm thinking, oh, no. Okay, but it's great. You're getting there, though. You're getting there. You're a lot better. No, you're not. Okay. praise God. It's okay if I tease you once in a while, right? You know I'm kidding. I love you very much. I'm going to invite you to grab your Bibles. How many of you brought your Bibles today? Okay. How many of you got it on your phone or your tablet? Let me see that. Okay. Some of you got that. That's growing and growing. So turn or click to Galatians chapter 5, would you? Galatians chapter 5. And let's start in verse 1. And I'm going to be all over the place today. We are continuing our series on the Christian atheist. In case you've missed these first two messages, we are exploring a series of messages where we see people who consider themselves followers of Jesus, and yet there's elements of their life that really don't line up with that at all. We might have asked Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We have made him our Lord and Savior, and that's great. But how many of you know that Christianity is not limited to a one-time experience where you said a prayer and that was it? Right? Are you with me? You with me? Our walk with God, it's a walk. It's a walk with God. So it involves a lot. And where I've seen some things, and I've been doing this for a little while now, and I've seen that there's some moments in people's lives, followers of Jesus, who they may even have good intentions, but there's parts of their lives that are not what God means for them. Not at all. It's like going to a really fancy steakhouse. How many of you like steak? Amen? Ooh, yeah. Now we got revival going on here. Yes. Yeah, now you're responding. You'll clap for that. But you're only ordering like a bologna sandwich. Why would you do that in this day? I even love the people that go to the Mexican restaurants, but they order the hamburger. You know who you are, and you need a healing is what you need. No, just kidding. But you could have this great meal, but I'll just settle for the bologna. Maybe I'm comfortable with bologna. I've liked bologna in the past, but here's steak. In fact, someone will even pay for it. Or maybe like free steak. Yeah. Okay. Now we're talking. But you still want bologna. That is kind of the image I'm painting with the Christian atheist. Jesus has paid for our salvation on the cross. We just partook of the Lord's Supper. He has forgiven us of our sins, and if we've made him the Lord of our lives, he offers life and life more abundantly. John 10:10 tells us. But we don't always buy in to all that Jesus has for us. And I call that type of person a Christian atheist. 2 weeks ago, we talked about your actions, how our conduct, even though we call ourselves Christians, our conduct might not line up with what the Lord expects of us. Last week, we talked about our testimony, how our testimony needs to be something that we as believers, our witness, that we as followers of Jesus need to be obsessed with. Today, I want to take a different approach. And I want to take a look at what I would call our hope. our hope. And what is our hope? Our hope, God's hope for us, is that your salvation would not just be a matter of a free ticket to heaven. In fact, calling it free is actually a misnomer. But that your Christianity would not be just a matter of getting to heaven, but your Christianity would be a matter of walking, as we've been talking about today already and singing about, walking in the freedom that God has for each and every one of us. This is a weekend where we're going to be celebrating our independence and our freedom as a country, and how we all celebrate that will probably look different. But today I want to go a step further, and I want to take a look at the spiritual freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And my concern is that Jesus offers all this freedom to us as his followers, but we won't walk in that freedom. I'll illustrate that even more in just a little bit. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word as we just read one verse together, but keep your Bibles near. If you're a note taker, be ready, because we're going to have a lot of scripture verses for you to write down and look up later, and a lot of thoughts that I think will really, really challenge and touch you today. Galatians 5:1, here's what it says. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. I want you to walk in freedom, church. I want you to know the freedom that God offers you. Can we pray? Father, I pray that you would make your hope known to us, that freedom is not just some buzzword that we say in Christian circles and we hope we can attain it, but Lord, freedom is available to all of us today. And Lord, I pray that if we are bound by anything, that you would set us free from that. Begin that liberating process this morning, I pray. And we'll thank you for everything that you do in Jesus' name. And we all said amen. Amen. You may be seated. So as we talk about freedom in our country for the next several days, it's July 4th weekend, I really want to camp out today on the hope that we have in having spiritual freedom, walking in that. Now, I don't have this verse on the screen, but I've quoted from it already a couple times here in the service. John 8, starting in verse 34, Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Can we say amen? So here's the deal. If the Bible proclaims that we have freedom, then we need to walk in it. We need to live like we're free. Maybe I can illustrate this with a story about a goldfish. In case you don't know what a goldfish is, there it is on the screen. A story is told of a girl who won a goldfish in a bowl at a county fair, and she really thought she got just the most special prize of all, and this fish was just blue, 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 just swim around in circles in his little bowl, blue, 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 just all the time. And in case you wonder what fish sounded like, that's it, blue, blue, blue. And she's walking around with this fish, and she just thinks, "Wow, this is kind of neat. But boy, he sure likes to swim. He really likes to swim." And then she looked out and she saw this lake in the distance while she's holding her goldfish bowl. And she decides, "You know what? I think this goldfish is pretty cool, but this goldfish deserves freedom." And so she took the bowl and she went to just the real shallow part of the lake right by the shore, and she placed the bowl underwater in the lake. And she left. She thought, "Be free, fish." And then she left. And literally hours later, She comes back. And what does she find? Now, some of you are thinking, it's dead. No. She comes back and she still sees the fish. Still in the bowl. Still swimming in circles in the bowl. Bloop, bloop, bloop. Now, it could have just swam out of the bowl and into the lake. But it didn't. It just stayed right there in the bowl where it had been accustomed to being for so long. And even though, here's where it hits, even though the opportunity for freedom was there, the fish decided, no, I'll just stay right here within the confines of this bowl. I've just described a number of people sitting in churches all over the country today where Jesus has set you free and he has placed you at a place spiritually where he says, okay, walk in the freedom that I've given you. But unfortunately, we find ourselves in certain areas not living as free people, but as people who are slaves, people who are bound, people who are not free. And I want God to set you free from some of those things today. And I'd like to give you four areas that I think the Lord would like to expose to all of us, where we tend to live as slaves instead of people who are spiritually free. You ready? Number one, what I would call the area of purity. Purity. Being pure. Holy. Dealing with sin the right way. I don't know about you, but how many of you have found out that once you give your life to Jesus, that you still have to battle with the whole sin thing? There's temptation there. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we conquer it. But it's still there, isn't it? I don't have the scripture on the screen, but I'm reminded when Paul was talking at the end of Romans chapter 7, and he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I shouldn't do, I do. Pastor Phil's version, I'm just a hot mess. What do I do? And some of us have been there. The things that we know we should do, we don't do, and the things that we know we shouldn't do, we do. Let me show you Acts chapter 13. It's starting in verse 38. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes, look at this, is set free from every sin. A justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. We are set free through the blood of Jesus, through his death on the cross. We are set free from every sin that we've ever committed in our past. Can you say thank God for that? You don't have to deal with it anymore. In fact, there may be a temptation for us to kind of go back and do what we used to do before we really gave our lives to Jesus. Today would be a day to say, no, be free from that. Because here's the thing. I've said this before. If we're not ruthless with sin, sin will be ruthless with us. And if we don't deal with it in a ruthless way, then the sin will deal with us ruthlessly as well. Another quick illustration that maybe some of you have heard me share before, but it's interesting when you take a look at circus elephants when they are trained. Anyone ever been to the circus before? Okay, I've never been to the circus, but I've been a pastor, just kidding, and circus elephants. It's really interesting how they're trained, because they're trained because the look like you see on the screen, you know, just like, oh, wow, they're doing all their tricks. It's really cool. Wow, but the way that they're trained is this. They are trained to do all of their tricks, where they might stand on their front legs, on their hind legs, or whatever trained elephants do. There's a huge chain band around their leg. And as they are trained how to do all of those tricks, the opportunity for them to escape is not there. They can't go anywhere because of that shackle that's around their leg. Well, what's interesting, when they get to the circus, how many of you know that there's no shackles on the elephants, right? Right? But they perform like it is. They have become so accustomed to that chain being around their leg that they operate in such a way. They could storm off. They could create havoc. And that would be a show. But they could just take off from the tent and do whatever they want to do and run away. But they don't. Because they're so accustomed to that chain. Can I speak to some people that maybe have grown very accustomed to a chain of sin around their spiritual leg? And the devil has taught you to do a lot of tricks, and he's had a lot of fun with you, but that chain's gone. When you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin, he took that chain off. And you don't have to do his tricks anymore. You don't have to succumb to a bondage that's not even there anymore. Jesus has set you free from sin and death. Can you say thank God for that? And so you don't need to pretend like that shackle of sin, whatever that was that God delivered you from, it's still there. Oh, sure, there may be temptations. Oh, sure, it may look inviting at times, but Jesus and his Holy Spirit has given you the power to say no to that stuff now. Thank God for that. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Take a look again at that first verse. It says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Earlier, I prayed that God would free people from shame. I believe that the guilt of our past, if we let it fester in our spiritual lives, can have a profound impact on our future. And many of us have let the guilt and the shame of our past impact our present and our future. In fact, I'll go as far as to say that the devil will try to use shame to spiritually weaken us. The devil will always try to bring back your past. Well, I made this mistake a year ago, 5 years ago, 25 to 30 years ago, I made this terrible mistake, and I'm just having to pay for it now for the rest of my life. That's not how God sees it. See, God not only wants to set you free from the sin, but again, he wants to set you free from the shame that comes from that sin. Because if the devil can't kill you with sin, he will try to kill you with shame. And we cannot allow shame to dictate our spiritual lives. God has made all things new. Can there be consequences to our sin? Yes, there can be. But God is even greater than the consequences. You need to understand that you need not allow the enemy to remind you of your past. The old saying goes, if the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit's conviction and the enemy's condemnation. If the Holy Spirit makes you feel guilty for something you've done, for a sin that you have yet to ask Jesus for forgiveness for, what's he doing? He's trying to bring you back into relationship with Him. There's a distance between you and God, and in the middle of that is sin. And so the Holy Spirit will use conviction to say, hey, you need to get this right so we can be in right relationship. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those moments when you're in right relationship with God and the devil tries to bring up something that God has already forgiven. And what's he trying to do? He's trying to break you apart. Don't let that happen. You can walk in freedom from your past today. You can walk in freedom in the area of purity, in the area of sin. Galatians chapter 5, again, this time verses 13 and 14. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Look at that again. Serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. I think, you ready for this? Keep looking at that verse. I think a major key to our walking in freedom from sin is self-denial. And self-denial is not just saying no to bad things. I think the key, a huge key to our succeeding in the battle over sin is loving one another more than ourselves. Denying ourselves and blessing others. Because you know what happens? You become obsessed with being a blessing to other people and less obsessed about fulfilling your own desires. Again, look at that scripture. Don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Instead, serve one another humbly in love. Paul's making this contrast. He's saying, look, you can either indulge the flesh or you could serve one another. So Paul is saying the two are polar opposite of each other. If you want victory over sin, start serving one another. We need to get over ourselves, and we need to be all about other people. Can you say amen? Boy, that's good stuff. I hope you caught that. Number two, here's another area. Not only do I want us to take a look at in the area of purity, but I also want to take a look at the area of anxiety. First was purity, next is anxiety. If you're stressed out because the words don't start with the same letter, keep in mind they end with the same three letters. It's what I do. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Look at that again. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, and we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Listen to me. As a follower of Jesus Christ, you have not been called to live a life full of fear and anxiety. That is not God's plan for you. That is not God's plan. Some of us, we wake up in the morning, we're scared. Am I going to be able to pay the bills? Am I going to be able to do this? I'm scared about what I'm going to face today. Oh, I'm scared of something dire happening to me or one of my kids. I'm scared to death. I just live with this all the time. I live with all this anxiety. If your life is consumed by fear, then listen to me. Look at this verse again. It's time for you to see who you are in God's eyes. You're his child. You are God's child. So there's no reason to live in fear. There's no reason to live in anxiety. See, fear and anxiety, they drive our economy, don't they? Bombs go off in another part of the country. Oh, I'm fearful, so we're cashing in our stocks, and then the price of this goes up and that. Well, things have settled down. Well, okay, now, and it's all based on how afraid the rest of the world is. Our economy is governed by fears and anxiety. But that's not how God's economy works. God has not called you to have a spirit of fear. Rather, again, this verse says, rather, he has adopted you as his child. And he has given you that spirit of sonship where you can call him daddy. That's significant. Maybe I can illustrate it this way. When my son was real little, like 3 or 4 years old, I noticed, because he's really cool now, so he doesn't need me, till he's hungry, you know what I mean. But we'd walk together somewhere, he and I, and those of you who remember Jonathan when he was that little, he was just a little munchkin, and there were some things that he would do. If he was ever insecure about a certain situation or something, like a dog or somebody made him nervous, kind of made him scared, do you know where he'd go? He wouldn't go in front of me and say, "I will take care of this, Dad." No, that's not what he did. He went behind me. And he was so little, he could just grab the leg. And he knew he was secure as long as he was near Dad. He didn't have to be afraid because Dad was nearby. God has adopted you as his child. And he has given you the spirit of sonship that says you can cry out to him and say, "Daddy." And spiritually grab him by the leg and know that as long as I am close to my dad, as long as I'm close to my heavenly father, it's going to be all right. It's going to be okay. God has set you free from the spirit of fear. We sang that song, "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." You have not been enslaved by fear any longer. That is not the mark of a child of God. Today, if you're living in fear, anxiety, God has a message for you, child of God. You don't have to wake up tomorrow dreading the day. You don't have to wake up fearing the future. And you say, "Well, easy for you to say, preacher. You never have problems. You're in the ministry." Thank God, right? Whew, I'm exempt from all trouble. No, life happens to me too. And sometimes this is easier to preach than it is to live. Sometimes it's easier to read than it is to apply. How many of you know what I'm saying? But those are the times where we grow in the Lord. And we say, "Okay, God, I don't know if I can handle this or not. But here's what I need to do. Daddy. I'm insecure about my finances. Daddy. There's a health issue going on and I'm really nervous about it. Daddy. My family is a mess. Daddy, I need you. Daddy, I need you to free me from these fears." Abba Father is here to free you from your fears. Number three, the third area is what I would call captivity. The area of purity, anxiety, captivity. One of my favorite verses in all of Scripture is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. It's a verse that Jesus actually quoted in Luke chapter 4 when he launched his ministry. It says this, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Look at this. "To proclaim what? Freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners." Can I ask a really honest question today? Is there something in your life that is holding you captive? Is there something in your life that is either beginning to control you or is already controlling you? I'm talking to Christians today. But I'm also talking, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you cannot win this battle without Jesus. I'm just telling you, you can't. You can't. You need Jesus for true victory over bondages and sin and all that garbage that our culture has for us today. We're going to have a guest speaker in the month of August, ordained minister, young lady who is starting a Christian recovery ministry called Grace Place. She lives in the Toledo area, Bowling Green area. And I texted her last night. I said, Amanda, I want your expert opinion, because she's been dealing with recovery ministry now for several years. I said, I'm not talking about people who don't know Jesus. I'm talking about people who consider Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. In your personal experience, what are the big issues that you find that have control on children of God, like many that are sitting here, if not most that are sitting here today? What are the big ones? What's the leaderboard? And she said, here's my experience dealing with Christians: alcohol, pornography. Here's one that surprised me. She said, I deal with people who have an emotional attachment to other people, and they can't get free of that. She said, I deal with sexual addictions all the time. These are believers. Maybe I just described you. Maybe it's not these four. Maybe it's something else. But is there something that has control over you? That's not the way God designed it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to do what? To proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners. God's message to you would be this: if you have a life-controlling issue, or you are on the verge of something in your life controlling you, then the Lord wants you to know that He is here to set you free. If you're struggling with something in your life that's controlling you, would you give it to the Lord? Would you give it to the Lord? And for some of us, this may be a process that you need to walk through, but God will be with you the entire process. God can set you free. There is no addiction that is greater than the power of Jesus Christ. There is no sin that is greater than the power of Jesus Christ. But there's also no bondage. You see, here's the thing. You know, we'll call crack and we'll call heroin addictions, but we won't call spending or eating or having an emotional attachment to somebody else. We won't call that an addiction, and those very well may control us more than some of these others. We call those habits. And God wants to set you free from that as well. If your life is governed trying to please somebody other than God, you're in captivity, and God wants to set you free from that. Here's the last one. Let me close with talking about the area of maturity. Maturity. Growing in our relationship with God. We sang a verse, or part of this verse earlier, but I don't want to stop at that verse. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18. Okay, it's on the screen. It says, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And this is where a lot of us like to stop. Hallelujah! Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We're not sure what that means, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Well, how do we apply that? How do we flesh that out? Well, Paul goes there. He says, and we all, he must have been Southern, we all. And we all, did you get that? I guess not. Okay. Tough crowd. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, look at this, we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. You want freedom? You want to walk in freedom that God has for you? Then we have to be deliberate in our growth, in our relationship with Jesus. It doesn't just happen. We have to make the effort to mature in our walk with him. Take a look at Ephesians. Look at this verse. 3:12. In him and through faith in him we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That refers to our prayer lives and approaching God and having a relationship with him. Psalm chapter 119, verse 45. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Walking in spiritual freedom goes hand in hand with our deliberately trying to become mature believers. Oh, some of you missed it, so I'll try this side. Walking in freedom goes hand in hand with being deliberate about your relationship with God. You want to walk in freedom? We need to pray. If we want to walk in freedom, we got to know what God's word says. If we want to know who we are in Christ, then we need to know what God's word has to say about God's opinion of us. Are you catching this? And that lends itself to our walking in freedom. I'm not suggesting that if there's some type of bondage that you're a bad Christian. I'm not saying that at all. But here's what I'm saying. If there is some type of captivity going on in your life, if there's some kind of bondage in your life, if you find yourself walking in fear instead of freedom, if you find yourself walking in captivity instead of freedom, or walking in sin instead of freedom, then what you now have is an opportunity to step it up and become closer to God than you presently are. So no matter where you are, you might be yards away from God, and you can still get closer. Maybe you're miles away from God, but you can still get closer. Maybe you're continents away from God, but you can still get closer. And if you find yourself needing to walk in freedom, how do you do that? You become deliberate about your personal relationship with Jesus. It's not just a bunch of people in white suits praying over you and saying, be free. You got to do something about it. I said, you got to do something about it. And you got to bathe this with prayer. You got to bathe this with the Word of God. You got to know what God's Word has to say about you. And do not listen to the lies of the enemy. You need to know the truth, because the truth will set you free. Are you getting this? If we want to be free, then we need to be deliberate about this. I can go to the gym all I want to, but if I'm just watching TV, I'm not going to have six-pack abs. In fact, I can pretty much confirm that's never going to happen anyway. But at least I can get healthier. But I have to exercise. I have to use the equipment correctly. And I have to implement all the tools, all the machines to go through that journey. Well, for us, God has given you the tools through the Word of God and prayer that you need to walk in the freedom that God has for you. Yes, we can pray over you. Yes, we can believe God to set you free. But there's got to be a deliberate movement on your part as well. Are you hearing me today? He who the Son sets free is free indeed. That's God's hope for you. Not just to get you to heaven by the skin of your teeth. That's not God's design. When Jesus died on the cross for us, he did so to set us free from everything. Today, some of us need to walk in the freedom that God has for us. And if you're bound by any of the stuff we've covered, or maybe I haven't covered, but you know there's something in your life that's dictating your life, today's the day for the keys to go on the cell door, for that door to be opened, for the chains to come loose, for you to get out of the fishbowl, start swimming. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. God, I'm asking you. I am standing in front of God, my most, other than my family, my most favorite people in the world, my church family. And I thank you that I have the privilege to serve them. And Lord, it's out of that love that I believe that you dropped this message on me, because it's your desire that all of us walk in freedom. That is your hope for us. So God, I pray that today would be a day where you liberate people that are bound. God, that you would set free people who have not experienced true freedom, spiritual freedom in you. God, may today be the day that begins. With your heads bowed, with your eyes closed, I wonder today, is there anybody here, and I know we covered a lot even during communion today, but is there a chance that there could be somebody here and you're not serving Jesus today? He's not your Lord and your Savior. You're not right with him, and you need to get right with him. You need him to forgive you of some sin in your life, and you need a brand new start with him before you leave this place. If that's you, and again, I promise not to embarrass you, I want to pray for you. So if that's you, could you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? That's as far as I'll go. I want to pray for you. If you need Jesus today to be your Lord and your Savior, don't be ashamed of this, by the way. There's no shame in this. This is the greatest miracle that could take place in this building today. Anyone, real quick. Child of God, can I ask you today, do you find yourself bound, not walking in freedom in the area of purity, sin, anxiety, fear? You're riddled with fear. Captivity, that there's, you're trying, but there's something controlling you. You need Jesus to set you free. Or maybe it's your maturity. You just need Jesus to help you be deliberate in your walk with God. Wow, hands are going up in this place already. Is God speaking? You say, yeah, God's speaking to me, Pastor. You could, hands going up everywhere. God's speaking to me, Pastor. I want God to set me free. Hallelujah. You need to respond to God. You need to pray to him that he would set you free. But you also need to make a decision to be very deliberate now in how you deal with this. You need to know what God's word has to say about you. You need to be deliberate in your relationship with him and believe that God truly has that new life for you. So I'm going to pray for you. And I admonish you, spend some time in this place praying to God, asking him to set you free, asking him to help you walk in that freedom. And when God releases you, you can fellowship with one another in the lobby. But right now, the most important person we can speak with is the Holy Spirit. And he is here today to do a work. When I say amen, if you need to pray, do so. And if God's released you, God bless you. Enjoy your weekend. Heavenly Father, I ask you now in this time, God, there are many here, many stories,
many situations. And Lord, you know them better than we do. I'm asking you, Lord God, that you would help us to walk in freedom. God, help us to walk in the life that you've called us to live. Help us to walk in the freedom that you have for us, God. So I come against sin, I come against fear, I come against any bondage that there might be in this place, Lord God, and I pray that we would replace all of that with you and the things of you. May we love other people even more than ourselves, and may we walk in that, Lord. May we know that we are your kids and you're our dad. So, Father, be with us as we take those first steps to freedom. Give us our hope back. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to pray, do so right now, right now, right now. Don't delay. If you want to come to the front and pray, you can do so. If you want to pray at your seat, you can do so. But if God's released you, you can consider yourself dismissed. God bless you.